Can you get excited today?
Yeah.
One of the most awesome services of the year, in my opinion. Probably agree. We don't have to. Who was here for Good Friday? Yeah, the day of sorrow. And you know, I left that service just going, man. And today, the opposite. Woohoo! It's an exciting time, isn't it? I want to welcome you to the Hope, and of course, happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm Pastor Norm, the lead pastor here at the Hope, and I, again, just want to welcome everyone, and I, of course, will be speaking this morning. Today, we're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, Jesus Christ. A.K.A. the Son of God. Hallelujah. And today's title of this message is simply, Believe. Hopefully I spelled that right. The main idea is that God created us, people, in general, to have a relationship with Him. And that's what I want to talk about today. We want to start with the first book, which is what? All right, you guys are awesome. So kids, I've got a few things in here. It's kind of an interactive message today a little bit. So you got to help me. You got to answer some of these questions. In the book of the Bible called Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, of course, we see that God established a relationship with who? Adam. Adam was the very first, wasn't he? The Bible says that God created man in His image, in His likeness. I believe that it's not just the outside of us, but it's the inside. It's the spirit within. Because we know in the New Testament, the Bible says, if you want to worship God, you need to worship Him in spirit and in truth, because He is spirit. So if we were created in His image, it would just make sense that God is a spirit, and He put one in us. Let me ask you this. Would God have wanted to walk with Adam if He didn't like him? What's the answer? It's so obvious, right? No. Why would He create us and then not want to spend any time with us? But we know, according to Genesis, that God did want to spend time with Adam. And He also decided, you know what, Adam, when I'm not around, when I'm not walking with you in the garden, I want to create somebody that can help you with your loneliness. And who was that? Ooh, you're good. That's right. So Adam and Eve were the first two, mom and dad, boy and girl, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, whatever you want to call it, they were the first, right? And they walked with God how often? The Bible says every day God would show up and they would walk together and they would talk about things. Some have said that Adam and Eve were super intelligent. And I don't doubt that. They also lived a lot longer than we do today. So because of sin, somebody said it over here, all of that started to degrade. And I don't believe we're as smart as the first couple. Sorry. That doesn't mean we're dumb as a bag of rocks, but we're not as smart as they were. Here's another question. And I've already alluded to it. Why did God create Adam and Eve? Thank you. You guys said it. God loved being with Adam and Eve. Do you think that has changed?
No.
Then what did change? Who said it? The Lord told Adam and Eve that everything in the garden was good for them. They could do whatever they wanted. They could enjoy everything except what? The fruit from the tree of good and evil. The fruit from the tree of good and evil. But something tragic happened, didn't it? And you all know what it was. First Eve, then Adam. They listened to that wily serpent, and they decided that, you know what? God must have been lying to us. He wasn't telling us the truth. He doesn't want us to be like him. So they took a bite. Munch, 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 munch. And what happened? What was the result? Immediate death. Now, did they die right there? No. But their spirit began to decay at that very moment. It wasn't a physical death. We know that because God kicked them out of the garden. He didn't want them to stay there because there they could eat from the tree of life, which would give them eternal life. And this was the mercy of God. God didn't want them to be able to eat from that tree because they were now sinners. And it would mean that they would live in their sin forever. So he had to banish them from the garden so they could no longer live forever. That's the kind of God we serve, by the way. Because Adam and Eve were the first man and the first woman, their children, their grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren, all the way through all of humanity, their DNA now has what in it? The S-I-N word, sin. What does that mean? We can't have fellowship with God. Not if we're sinners. The Apostle Paul put it like this. Read this with me. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Pastor Norm didn't say this. The Holy Spirit said this through the Apostle Paul. All have sinned. All have fallen short of God's glorious standard. But let me say this, and I want to make this so clear. This was never God's intention. Never. God wanted a relationship with his people. But if that's the case, why can't we still go to God as sinners? And I'm talking about having a relationship with him. We still can go to God through Jesus. But what I'm saying here is, can we have a relationship with God if we're sinners? No, we can't. So, what needs to change? God is what?
Holy.
Holy, thank you. God is holy. And because of that, in the Old Testament, whenever he confronted sin, what happened to it? It was consumed. Nothing left. Not even ashes. It was just because God is holy. The Apostle Peter said, be holy, for God is holy. So we can't have a relationship with him if we have sin in our life. But listen to what follows. We all know what verse 23 says, right? We all know this one probably by heart. But listen to the next part. Yet God, would you say that with me? Yes. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from what? Ooh, this is getting good. 25a says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. You didn't have to do it. I don't have to do it. We don't have to pay the price for our sin because God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right when they do good things. People are made right when they say nice things to God. No, there's only one way we're made right, is when we believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. A lot of people don't like this story because they don't like talking about blood. Well, that's kind of gross. I didn't make this up. In the Old Testament, it says there must be shedding of blood for there to be forgiveness. And Jesus is the only sacrifice, and I'll get into this a little bit more in a minute. He's the only one that could sacrifice his body for us and have it affect everybody. We don't deserve it. We cannot work for it. But God gives it to us just the same. God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe. When they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. So important. Read it with me. People are made right with God when they believe. Do you believe? Jesus died. The result of our believing is that we are made righteous in his eyes through Jesus, his son. Tell your neighbor, when we believe, we're made righteous. And because Jesus, and I don't understand this part, because Jesus was 100% God, he was divine, and also 100% man, that's 200%. I don't get it. If you're a mathematician, I'm sorry. It blows me away too. 100% God, 100% man, and because of that, it meant Jesus was a sinless sacrifice. Lately, I've been hearing people who've been saying otherwise. Well, Jesus, yeah, he probably committed a few sins here and there. Liars! Do you know what the very last thing, there are wars, there are rumors of wars, all that stuff. Do you know what the one thing is that the Bible says is going to happen at the end, during the end times? The biggest thing that we're going to see, and I think we're already seeing it, is what's called deception. And the devil is trying to convince people, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he wasn't really, nah. And that's where a lot of people stumble because they're like, I don't believe that God could have done this. He wouldn't have hung his son on the cross. He wasn't sinless. Yada, yada, yada. Liars. All lies. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. His death and only his death would atone for man's sins for a little while. For a week or two. Once and for all. Say it with me. Once and for all. The Bible says he doesn't have to keep hanging himself on the cross to atone for our sins. He did it once and for all. All of us are included in that beautiful day when Jesus allowed them to hang him on that cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you think Jesus wanted to be there? No. He actually asked his Father while he's hanging on the cross, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can pass, let it pass. But not my will, yours be done. I think I said on the cross, but it was just prayer. Jesus did not want to die, but he knew it was imminent. It had to happen. And he went there for us. Can anybody else get excited? But as much as we like to focus on his death and even his burial, of course we know that all happened, there's another very important part to the story. Woo! If Jesus had merely died, if they'd just buried him in the tomb, and by the way, many believe that they hid the body. I've talked about this before. 500 people saw him after he arose. They documented this. And they weren't all believers. Jesus arose from the dead on the third day. He came back from the grave. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus arose from the grave, because He came back from the dead. You and I will have life and life everlasting as well." Can I hear another shout? And brother, can you give us a little toot? Hallelujah. So I want to break this down real quick. Let's see what the Bible says one more time here. Number one, all men, boys and girls, women, boys and girls, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Look at your neighbor and say, we're all sinners. But God. God wasn't having this. I believe He wasn't having it because He wanted a relationship with His people. Just like He had established with Adam and Eve before sin, He wants a similar relationship with His people today. And someday, and I believe it's going to be soon, we are all going to be in the presence of the living God in heaven with Him forever and ever. The Bible says there will be no weeping, no tears shed, no death. It's just going to be glorious. And we're going to all hang together. So look around you, because these are the people that you're going to see there. And if you're not getting along with them here, then you got some serious issues. You better deal with it. God wants a relationship with children, with His children. Look at your neighbor and say, that's us. So what does the master of the universe, what does God do when there is a gulf of sin between us and Him? He bridges the gap with the blood of Jesus, His Son. He sends a Savior. Amen? God sent His Son. There's an old hymn, and I know Pastor Roger could probably sing it, and Mary, you don't need to though. I have a debt I could not pay. And in the very first verse it says, I had a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt He did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And that someone was Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful name, Jesus. I'm going to shift gears on you real quick just for a moment here. It'll make sense once you if you'll bear with me. And I'm going to move to Acts chapter 16. And you're probably going, well, I don't remember anything about the resurrection there. There isn't. Acts 16. Paul and Silas, remember those two guys? They've been teaching and they had been preaching, and they found themselves in the town of Philippi. While they were ministering, though, a slave girl began following the two, and she kept shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Now, at first, it was probably kind of cool, but the Bible says this went on for several days. Imagine every time that you get done sharing some good news about Jesus, she blurts out, "Help me. Servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved." Well, eventually, the Apostle Paul was like, you know, it shows that God was working on him, that he was Christian, because he showed a lot of mercy to her. He's probably thinking, oh, Lord, just have her go away. But she didn't. And finally, what did he do? He prayed that prayer. He cast the demon out of this girl. So what was the result? Did I mention that this girl, this slave girl, had an owner? And she could tell the future. What does that mean? She made the guy money. This girl was his cash cow. The Apostle Paul prays, says, come out of her in the name of Jesus. It had nowhere to go but out. And all of a sudden, the girl's like, whoa. She starts to realize something changed. It's just me now. I'm not sharing this with somebody else, demonic. But she also didn't have that little gift, if you want to call it that. And the owner found out what had happened. Tell fortunes, and she couldn't do it. So he stirred up, he incited a riot against these two. First, they beat the daylights out of Paul and Silas. What's that tell us? When you come against the devil's minions, you can expect some kind of reprisal. He's going to come after you in some way, shape, or form. If you were here last Sunday, you heard a little bit about that from our pastor, our missionary from the nation of Gabon in Africa. They see it there all the time. The devil is real. And he will try to mess you up. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And as we saw with the Apostle Paul, all he had to do was say, out. And it left the girl. But they ended up, long story short, in prison. Imagine that. How many of you would be going, oh God, why? Why me, Lord? But not Paul, not Silas, not. What did they do? Middle of the night. And this is what we tell people to do when the devil has you in a box. When you find yourself with no place to turn, this is what we all need to do. Oh, I forgot to mention this one. We don't need to fear the devil because God causes everything. Say everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. These two had nothing to fear from the owner nor from the devil because they knew God was going to do something miraculous. And what he ended up doing as they began to pray, as they began to worship the Lord, and when you get to that place, don't forget this. Ooh, it got quiet. How do you pray? It can be as simple as God. I need you. Jesus. Master, help. Right? What does it mean to worship him? We did it in the beginning. We're going to do it again here in just a minute. We begin to praise. Let me go back to Scripture because I don't want to mess this up. Let me read. So it's pitch black. They're chained to the wall. These men start to pray, and they start to worship. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. They're like, what are you nutcakes doing? Well, it's better than just sitting here in the dark. Keep it up. They must have had decent voices. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. What does massive mean? It was probably pretty big, like 7.5, maybe 8 on the Richter. So severe that the prison was shaken to its foundation. And all of the doors, oh, imagine that. All of the doors immediately flew open. And the chains of every prisoner, not just Paul and Silas, the chains of every prisoner fell off. Now listen to me. An earthquake would not knock the chains off. Come on. But that's what happened. So can you see a miracle here? God was moving on behalf of these two men because, and let me emphasize this, because they had a relationship with their God. Amen. And when you have a relationship with your God, you can do these kinds of things. And the devil shudders. And the kingdom of God is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. The jailer woke up, woo-hoo, which means he probably wasn't doing his job. Hello. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had all escaped. So he drew his sword to kill him. Why would he do that? Because if he didn't do it, the governor would do even worse to him. He'd probably fillet him or something else, because you didn't leave your post. You didn't fall asleep. And everybody gets away without there being some kind of repercussion, right? Paul yells out, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here!" He had to be going, "Hoo!" Right? And he turned the page. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He knew this wasn't normal. This was supernatural. Otherwise, he wouldn't be trembling. Then he brought them out and he asked, "Sirs," say it with me, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the reason I brought you here. What must we do to be saved?" Paul and Silas' response to the jailer was nothing fancy. Wasn't really deep. It was this. Read it. Read the blue with me. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." That's good news. Did that change? Did what they did with the jailer and his family change from then till now? It's the same God. We serve the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Which tells us that what must we do to be saved? It's simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And then Paul and Silas shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in the household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in their house was immediately baptized. Woo. You don't see that real often, that they were immediately baptized. Maybe the reason was that the jailer might have known that some serious things were coming his way. All of the people got away. What were they going to do to him? I'm just guessing. It's not in the Bible. I'm going to say probably he'd be killed. Hey, you lost your people. Yeah, but. No buts. You lost them. I don't care if God showed up. Because they were godless people. They didn't care. Next Sunday, water baptism. That 7-foot horse trough will be filled with water. And we got that thing. Stand up, Dave. We got that thing for him, and he fit. So I don't think anybody else in here is going to have a problem. I'm just saying. Immediately after they were saved, they were water baptized. I say next Sunday because it's an important step in a Christian's walk. Sign up at the guest service desk. Shameless plug. Not really shameless. Again, what did Paul tell the jailer? You must believe in Jesus. That's what Easter, that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. We believe that Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price for our sins, and he did that on the cross on Good Friday. Not good for him, good for us. A good man died on Good Friday. But on Sunday, we are filled with joy. We're able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because he didn't stay in the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. But you must believe. You must believe. To believe, by the way, is to accept as true, as genuine, or real. That's what it means to believe. To believe, let me say it one more time, to believe is to accept as truth, as genuine, as real. What's in the Bible is truth. You can believe it. Jesus himself said this in John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that, read that part, everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. It can't get any clearer, any simpler than this. God wants a relationship with us. From the very beginning, that's what he wanted. And then sin. Sin separated us from God's glory, from his holiness. And the only way back was for the Father to do something so severe, so drastic, like sending his Son to take our place. Everyone who believes will be saved. Would you stand with me? And I would ask, if you don't mind, please, nobody moving around for just a moment. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that God sent him to save you?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus was buried?
Yes.
And do you believe that on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. According to the Apostle Paul, if you believe, you will be saved. And I wanted to share one last scripture. Romans 8:29, for God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Like Adam was the firstborn in the sinful side of things, humanity, Jesus is the firstborn in the righteous side of humanity. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Say, come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he also gave them his glory. Hallelujah. When you become born again, you become a child of God, and you inherit all of the things the kingdom of God has to offer, including the very glory of our living God. If I haven't made this clear yet, God wants a relationship with you. Every person, every man and woman, every boy and girl, when you believe and come to God, he will give you right standing with him, meaning you can talk to him daily. Your sins no longer keep you from him. If I could, really brief, just a small little snippet of my life. Before I knew who Jesus was, I knew of him. I'd heard his name. I'd grown up in a church, but not a full-blown Pentecostal church like this. But where I was at, I knew Jesus, I knew his name, but I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I didn't know that was even possible. And then that man came around my job and he said, "Hey, I want you to meet Jesus." And I said, "What? What, is he with you?" And he started to share from this book. And I listened, and I was like, "Yeah, that's all good for you, but, you know, that's not my bag, man. I got things to do." You know what I mean by that? I had unholy things I wanted to do. I was a sinner. And a good one. I'm not boasting about that now, but I am telling you I was a sinner and a good one. If I don't need to go any further. And he kept coming around me. Like that woman, that slave girl that Paul and Silas had come out. My attitude was a little different with this guy. I actually said to him, "All right, tell me about Jesus." I couldn't take it anymore. And he introduced me to his king. He introduced me to his friend, his savior. And I was like, "Huh, sounds good." And he didn't pray with me right there. He said, "You know, why don't we do this? Come over to my house this morning. I'll share some more with you. And then if you decide at the end of the day, when we come back to work tonight, if you decide you want to make a commitment to the Lord, we'll pray." So I went to his house. His wife made a beautiful little breakfast for us. They were Mexican. It was good. I'm just saying. And he read scripture to me as I was eating. The seeds planted in my heart. I want to be honest with you. At first, I'm thinking, "What am I doing? Am I crazy?" But that day, I went home. I tried to sleep. I went back to work that night. And I was so excited. I said, "What I got to do to be saved?" And he says, "All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe." And he prayed this prayer with me. You've heard me say it many times. I want to read it from the Word. Romans 10:9. "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture says," verse 11, "anyone who trusts in him," Jesus, "will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him." Verse 13, I'll conclude with, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Father, we are humbled to be here today. And it's all because of the love you had for us, for everyone that's here, and those who have preceded us. You loved us so much, you were willing to send Jesus, your son, your only son. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to send my first, second, third, or fourth son to die for this world. But you sent Jesus to die for all of us. that had to have broken your heart. But you knew it was necessary in order for us to be able to come to you to ask for your forgiveness. For us to be covered in Jesus' righteousness, it meant that there had to be a way, and only you could make it. So when Jesus hung on that cross, as they beat his body to death, as he shed every last drop, the Bible says that the soldier pierced his side and water came out, which is a sign that all of his blood had been drained from his living body. We know he died. But he didn't stay there. Hallelujah. On the third day, he rose from the grave. Death couldn't hold him. And he took back the keys of death from the devil. And today, we can take advantage of that. You have provided a way for us to have a relationship with you. And there's only one who's done this, and that is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me." And this is what he was talking about. You must believe that he died for you. You must put your trust in him. And according to the Apostle Paul, you need to confess your sins to him and believe in your heart that he did this for you and everybody else that calls on his name. Maybe you would say, "Pastor Norm, I want this Easter to be special. I believe, and I want to place my trust in Jesus. Would you pray for me?" If that's you today, with everybody's head up, eyes open, just lift your hand up so I can see it. If you want Jesus, if you want to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior today, hallelujah. Hands going up all over the room. Get in on this prayer. Don't listen. I get nothing out of this other than I get to see you in heaven someday.
Amen.
But if you don't make this choice, and you walk out of here, and God forbid that something tragic happens, maybe you don't live as long as you thought you would. Maybe tomorrow is your last day, or next week. You don't know. None of us know when we're going to be called home. Where's your home going to be? Is it going to be with God, or is it going to be eternally separated from him? If you haven't raised your hand, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you'd like to today, and you haven't already raised your hand, lift it right now. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I see that hand. Anybody else? Yes, you can put them down. Thank you, Lord. We want to pray that Romans 10, 9, and 10 prayer. Are you with me? And listen, we're family. We've all prayed this. I prayed it with Jaime and his wife Jeannie. You're praying it with the whole Hope Church. We're in this together. So I want you to pray this as though Jesus is standing right in front of you, because he is. I believe that with all my heart. The Bible says that. Wherever two or more gather in his name, he is in their midst. You may not see him with your physical eye, but he is here. And he is acknowledging this move that you're making. And by the way, this isn't a once and done, right? This is a forever thing. This is a, I'm going to make a commitment today to serve Jesus Christ all the days that I have left, because I want to have a relationship with him.
Amen.
I want him to know me. He already knows you. And I want to know him better. So it takes a little bit of work, right? A little bit of sacrifice. You do some things like reading your Bibles and things like that. You go to church. Hello? You will not be fed if you don't find a place where you can hear the Word of God. You need that. Because you leave here and what happens? The devil's out there trying to get your eyes off of Jesus and back on the world. You don't need that kind of life. You got to be surrounded by people who love the Lord. All right, enough said. I want you to pray this out loud with me if you raise your hand, as though your life is in the balance, and it is. Glory to God. Pray this. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. And I believe that when you went to the grave, you paid an eternal price so that I might have life and life to the full. So today, this Easter Sunday, 2024, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus and cleanse me in your righteousness. Help me to live for you, Lord, all the days that I have left. Tomorrow, help me to wake up and say, it's a new day. I get to live with Jesus. Help me, Lord, to know you better each and every day. Open your scriptures to me. Help me to understand. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If we could have our worship team coming back up here, because we want to go out on an up note. But listen to me, if you prayed that prayer and you have not already received it, we have a little green booklet for you. Somebody over here is going to have them. There we are. You can't see her because she's a little vertically challenged, just a little bit there. Love you, Cheryl. There it is. Billy's got it. Grab one of those on your way out if you've not already done so. It will jumpstart your walk with the Lord and help you to know what next steps are. Again, next Sunday, very important. Get water baptized if you haven't already done so. I've had people say, well, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. I just say this. I believe that becoming born again is an adult thing, or at least an older child thing. You have to understand that you're committing yourself to the Lord. So I would tell you, yes, get water baptized in full immersion. And there are things out there telling you what to bring, a change of clothes, all that. But I'd love to see that list full so that next Sunday when we come back, it's just going to be amazing as you take your next steps. Listen, I'm going to pray one final prayer, and then we're going to go out on this song. If you don't know some people, introduce yourself. It's always a great place to be in church. Amen. Father, again, we thank you for everything that was accomplished here today in your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know one day we're all going to be there anyway. So, Lord, just accomplish it through us. Help us, Lord, to be a light in this very dark world. Help us to share the love of Jesus with others. And most important, recharge our batteries, Lord. Help us to draw closer to you each and every day until you come back for us. In Christ's name, amen. Love you. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday.